And you're back with me and David, and we're moving straight from who should be the next Labour leader to who should be the next Tory mayor of London. And whilst we're talking, I suspect, all the candidates are being interviewed and vetted one by one by some, you know, ghastly little committee of people poking and prying at them.
And whose sole qualification has to be they'll do what Dave wants them to do.
Well, there are these rumours that they're going to try and rig the panel of candidates so just Zach Goldsmith flows through. So we've got somebody here who's been deeply embedded in Boris's administration, in charge of policing in London, Stephen Greenhouse. Welcome, Stephen.
Welcome, Ken.
Why are you running for it?
Well, because I want the job. I think it's a fantastic job to have the opportunity to shape the greatest global city on earth. You know as much as anybody, except for Boris, perhaps, just how much the job can achieve for London if the powers are used for the for the people of London.
But you've got a disadvantage, because Zach Goldsmith's saying, if I'm the candidate, I'll, you know, give £3 million to run my campaign and all that, and you can't find £3 million, I mean. Do you think this is right, that someone can actually, you know, almost buy
the candidacy, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Go on, slag off Zach Goldsmith, please.
Well, I'm not going to, because I'm going to run my own campaign, and it will be the way I started my political career, from a ward, then a ward chairman with my two friends, close friends that I work with, and then we built that branch up, and then I was involved with the association, and then I became a local councillor to the very ward where my parents came to when they came to London. I served there for 16 and a half years. I was a council leader for 6 years.
Yeah, leader of Hammersmith. We need people to know that.
Leader of Hammersmith Council. I worked my way up from the bottom, if you like, and I make no apologies that my campaign will be much more of a grassroots campaign.
Oh. So you and Ken, you and Stephen.
We're the same.
Why isn't he a lefty?
During
the break, you and Stephen were talking.
Sorry.
And both of you were getting on fine because your local government went to your fingertips. And, you know, I have this sense that someone with Stephen's experience is much more likely to be a more effective mayor than someone who sort of breezes in with a Pepsodent smile and some money in his pocket.
Well, I think this is the problem of our politics. I mean, when you and I came into politics, David, everybody broadly followed this route. You did something locally, or had run a small business, or been, regional union official, something like that. Now it's all these people straight out of doing politics and philosophy at Oxford or Cambridge, and then political advisor, and then they're in the... I mean, the tragedy is what I've said before. Cameron and Obama and Blair, the first thing they get to run is the whole country.
I remember, funny enough, it's very interesting to say that. A friend of mine who was a very successful businessman, very successful fixer for the Democratic Party, senior ambassador under Clinton, he was one of Clinton's main backers, he assured me in the Obama's first election that, you know, although Obama, he agreed, had been a social worker only 4 years before he ran for president, Obama was so bright, he'd been editor of the Harvard Law Review, he'd make a great job of it. Well, I spent part of my New Year's holiday with dear old Ed Elson in Florida last year, and I said, how are you feeling about it, Ed? And then he said, well, he's been a disaster. Yeah. And part of the reason, he said, you know, he thinks the people who got him elected are the people who can run a government, every mistake in a book. And we even have Obama, we're going to be talking about this later on, talking about, you know, the things he'd failed to do, gun control, all that sort of stuff.
And well, Cuomo got it right, didn't he? You govern in prose, but you have to campaign in poetry, and very few people can do both.
Exactly. Now look,
but hang on, before we move on, we're still dealing with our origins. I mean, before you got into politics, what was your chosen career?
I'm going to disappoint you, Ken, because the only place I wanted to go to was Cambridge. My dad was the first person in his family to go to university, and I grew up with maths of Cambridge colleges in front of me, and I went to Trinity because I was taken there as a kid. I left there and joined Procter & Gamble, worked my way through brand management. It was the boot camp of marketing and learning how to run businesses. I tried to set up my business. It didn't work out the first time, and eventually got that going, and it's now a local business that employs nearly 30 people.
Yeah, right. So you've actually run something, you've learned from mistakes.
If you get it wrong, don't make the same mistake twice. That's my definition of stupidity.
Now, Stephen, what is troubling me is the manner in which we know how far... and I obviously don't expect you to criticise David Cameron, but, you know, anyway, you don't need to. I can do all that's needed on that. who, in his attempts at party management, he has an A-list, a lot of manipulation going on, very little is left to chance. There are rumours that what they're looking for is only to let two or three people through to the shortlist that's then voted on by Tory party members. And since this is more of a coronation than an election, there are two other candidates, the leader of Kensington and Chelsea Council.
Westminster City Council.
Westminster, sorry. A woman who is obviously gifted but hasn't been around for very long, and an MEP whose name even eludes me, such as his household name. The worry is that you will not survive today, and yet how can they not allow to go on the ballot someone who is deputy mayor and who has a record of service to the Conservative Party at local government and at London government level stretching back more than two decades? How could that happen?
Well, it's not yet happened. And the truth is that I think the party needs competition. Competition is a good thing. It's one of the reasons that I think and believe that enterprise is important. It's what drives growth, and growth can drive prosperity, and it can benefit everybody. And if we have a coronation, I don't think that's good for anybody, including the front runner.
Now, let's work on the assumption you get the nomination. Which Labour candidate would you most fear? Which do you think would be your strongest opponent?
Do you know, I started watching, I mean, I concentrate on my own race, but I'm interested that David Lammy nicked an idea of yours around this bond idea, which is James effectively Bond. The value.
It's not James Bond, it's municipal bond.
Oh, it's municipal bond, James Bond's
not
cousin,
James
or what?
Bond. And I think that idea of using inherent value of the land in London to borrow against and to build things is absolutely the right way to go. That's how you can shape a city. So I think it's a good idea. I'll nick it.
This is the key thing. It's investment. Every economics lesson is built on investment. And there's no discussion about this taking place in the Labour leadership contest, or our investment levels in Britain are basically the lowest since the Second World War. And if you look at London's success today is based on the fact that we did get a lot of investment in transport, in the Olympics, and now Crossrail coming along. And that's what attracts the private sector to then come.
Stephen, can I just press you just one more time on this?
Sure.
Are you worried that this small group of people who will be evaluating you today, for reasons I cannot begin to comprehend, might prefer to have Zach running against a woman and someone from the with an Asian heritage, rather than a tough guy like you? Could you accept it if you were excluded when you have done so much? Don't you deserve, regardless of what they say, your chance with the people?
David, life's not fair, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And that's all I can do. I can't control the committee. I don't know many of the people on the committee. I'll do my best. And then I'll have to take stock.
Why do the Tories not trust the people? I mean, I appreciate they've got one or two weirdos like Ivan Masso and just sort of self-publicist and a whole lot of other things. I was saying, when you've got John Bercow and Ivan Masso, you realise if your name ends in OW, you've got problems. But basically, what is it? Why don't the Tories trust the people? The job of the evaluating committee should be to say whether that person, and it was last time, because I know various people were on that committee last time, when Boris went through, the assessment was that person capable of being a credible candidate? How can they run it on any other basis? And manifestly, you are capable of not just being a credible candidate, you're capable of being an extremely credible candidate. So why don't they trust the Tory voters to make that decision?
Well, that's a really nice one. I think we have to see. I personally believe, as every person in the race that's commented on this, that we should have a very broad field. It doesn't cost any more to have more names on a ballot paper. So, frankly, I'd have everybody on a ballot paper and have and just let people decide.
You should say, when you get to that committee later on, they should point out that Labour's allowed everyone who got a nomination from CLP on that list. And if the Tories rigged this, we might mention it during the campaign once or twice.
Well, indeed.
I think you've already have, Ken, actually, to be fair.
No, but I mean, you know, Zach Goldsmith is a maverick. A wealthy maverick who will have bought the nomination is a disaster waiting to happen. But there we are. The last person I said that to was a man called Archer. And I said to him, private dinner, Geoffrey, why are you running to be mayor of London? You cannot survive the scrutiny of an election campaign. And with his great respect for truth, Geoffrey said, well, I haven't decided to run anyway, when he'd already appointed his treasurer and God knows what. Anyway, this is LBC, it's 10:46.
This is Mark Underhill in the LBC Travel Centre. Well, in West London, the A4... The